I see this name come up in the Bible, and it's Lydia. And my mind goes places, you know, squirrel. I've been known to do that kind of stuff. But my mind went to this one. It reminds me of the Lydia the Tattooed Lady. Remember that from the Marx Brothers? Right? And Garcho, and then the Muppets did the same thing. Lydia, oh Lydia, that encyclopedia. Oh Lydia the Tattooed Lady. I'm going to stop now. But if you really want to enjoy some laughter when you go home, Lydia the Tattooed Lady on YouTube, or the Muppets singing it, or Groucho Marx and his brothers. It's just, anyway, it has nothing to do with the sermon. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, we're looking at your book again today. We ask that you'd help us learn today what it is you need to have us know, so we can be of maximum service to you and to others. Thank you, Lord. Amen. What's it say? Mm-hmm. Against all odds. I've loved this series we've been having this summer. It's great. A few things before we jump into the text. Before this, because context is king when you read the book, what took place before this? Right? Paul is having a dream, a vision. And in the vision or in the dream, he hears a guy that says, you need to go to Macedonia. Come on, for crying out loud, you need to go to Macedonia. What? What? So he wakes up, and here it starts. Ready? We, you can look on the program, we set sail from Troas straight to Samothrace. Who's the we? Well, it's Paul, right? And Silas and Timothy, but who's the third dude? It's Luke. He's writing about the Acts of the Apostles. Now he's putting himself in that story too, because he was there. So we show up and make our way to Troas. And they meet the tattooed lady. I mean, they meet Lydia, right? One of the first things we learn about Lydia is that she's a woman of worship. And prayer. She's devout. She's religious. These four guys meet her and a bunch of other women down by the river outside the gate of this place where they're staying, this town. We'll get back to the town in a little bit, but they're assembled there for prayer. We are told that she was what? It said, a worshiper of God. Back in the day, the ancient Jewish phrase would be what? A convert. She what? Converted from being a Gentile to being a Jew. Kind of similar to, remember a few weeks back when we were looking at Acts, the 8th chapter, where that Ethiopian eunuch is studying and he baptizes him right away. Remember that? Question. I want to know what the women were praying about. What are they praying about outside by the river, right? Maybe they were praying, and maybe they got an answer to prayer when those four dudes show up and they start telling them about how much Jesus loves them. Maybe that's the answer to the prayer. I don't know. But the message I took away from this is what? Never, ever, ever underestimate the power of a praying woman. Who did Jesus appear to first after the resurrection? Women. Never underestimate the power of a praying woman. Another thing about Lydia that we all love and adore, she was a seller, a dealer, if you will, of purple cloth. She was an entrepreneur. And I love how she's introduced into the story, not through her husband. It wasn't, yeah, this is Lydia, Bob's wife. So I don't know what the guy's name was, and even if he was one, I don't know. Lydia is a seller of purple fabric. Some scholars suggest that she was a widow, could have been. We don't know. We know that Lydia was what? Inspirational, that's for sure. a wealthy businesswoman who put God first and still succeeded and still made time to go worship. Love that. Purple fabric was expensive and usually reserved for royalty and those who were incredibly wealthy. So far, it hasn't helped the Vikings win anything, but anyway, they're incredibly wealthy. Never mind. Sorry, squirrel. Remember how some of the soldiers put a purple cloth on Jesus before he was executed by the Romans? And they mock him and say, "This is the King of the Jews, saved for royalty," right? And then there is, in the Gospel of Luke, the 16th chapter, there's that rich man and Lazarus story. And I think it goes something like this. He was dressed in purple and fine linen, who feasted scrumptiously every day. The poor guy and Lazarus. Lydia is savvy. She's wise. She's wealthy. And do you ever underline stuff in your Bible when you're reading it? I need help. I underlined this one where it says what? She was, where did it go? Yeah, certainly a worshiper of God and was listening, and what? The Lord opened her heart. She was listening and the Lord opened her heart. I underlined those two. The Lord opened her heart. And I think that's the kind of relationship the Lord wants with us. Hey, open my heart, Lord. Help me listen. I think God also wants our eyes and our brains and our ears and our hearts, of course. That, you know, that can be really hard for some of us. Can be for me, turning our will and our life over to the care of God every day. Some of us still think we can do it our own way. Yeah. The Lord said, it says the Lord, that Lydia didn't know the Lord, but she was willing to listen. Imagine her sitting by the river. Paul and the guys come up and there are these women sitting by the river. And what is she doing? Is she clearing her mind from all the daily tasks she has to do and looking at the ledger for deposits and this and that? And the Lord opened her heart to listen. And she was led to be baptized. Against all odds, Lydia became the first convert to Christianity in all of Europe. She was number one, first Christian in Europe. Oh, and how it spread. She went on and carried the message of Christ's love with dignity and with grace. She was changed by the Lord. And so are we, daily, changed by the Lord. And did you notice what happened with this open-hearted woman? She not just had an open heart, but she opened her house. She opened her house. Given the fact that, well, she was a busy businesswoman and the high price of purple cloth, I'm guessing the house was pretty big because her whole family got baptized. And then she's inviting these four guys she really doesn't know into her home. Her whole household is baptized. Verse 15. If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay in my home. I want to know if those four guys were from Minnesota. Did they say no three times? Oh, no, I can't possibly do that. Can't possibly do that. Can't possibly. Okay. Do you think they did that? I don't know. I just try to make the book come alive. Yeah, obviously she must have received the gift of hospitality, right? Maybe she's, don't you remember, I think it's Hebrews 13 and Romans, what, 9, where it says, extend hospitality to strangers, for by doing so some have entertained angels without knowing it. Pretty savvy, Lydia. Lydia's home became the unofficial headquarters of the church in Philippi. Her leadership, right? Her initiative, her generosity, along with her open house,
Well, hospitality abounding. Amazing. It was the first church plant in all of Europe. It's great. Hospitality. It's akin to hospital, right? Hospital is different because it's a place away from home that's designed to bring healing and wholeness. Hospitality is about allowing your home and your presence to bring emotional, mental, and spiritual healing. Lydia, an amazing gift. And so are you. Let's pray. Patient and gracious Lord God, thank you. Thanks for loving us in spite of ourselves. Thanks that you wait for us. Whether by river or we're in a quiet space in our home, even if we're going bumper to bumper traffic and construction, you are waiting and ready to open our hearts. Help us to be available and to truly listen. Help us to follow your lead with the obedience of Lydia today, Lord, so that we might watch your blessings abound in our lives and in the lives of future generations. May we be hearers and doers of your word. In your name, Jesus. Amen.